Well, let us turn again in the Word of God to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and for a time we shall consider from verse 11 to verse 24. And our theme is Gideon and the Angel of the Lord. Or another subtitle could be The Judge and the Saviour. The Judge and the Saviour. Well, thus far we have seen, and we noted last week, that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And throughout the book of Judges, this is what they were prone to do. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But we see within Judges is that when they went into evil and into sin, oppression came upon the people of God. And they cried unto the Lord. And in the mercy of God, God heard their cry and delivered them from their oppressors. On this occasion, their oppressors is the Midianites, who would come like grasshoppers upon their land, take all their crops, all their supplies and sustenance. And then God sent to them a prophet, a man, before He sent them the judge. A prophet came and rebuked the children of Israel. What was their sin? It was the sin of forgetfulness. They forgot their redemption. They forgot the covenant. And yet the Lord in His mercy sends to them a judge. The last words of verse 10 of this prophet, "But ye have not obeyed my voice." It is with this final declaration of the prophet of God that really clarifies for this people that they were disobedient covenant breakers. No merit of themselves. This people were wholly undeserving. And yet God was to send them a deliverer. And it is then in this context that they obeyed not the voice of God that we read these gracious words of verse 11. "And there came an angel of the Lord." God's deliverance of His people had commenced. Well, what can we learn then from this meeting of Gideon and the angel of the Lord? Firstly, Gideon and the angel of the Lord. In verse 11, here in our narrative, we are introduced to Gideon, the judge and deliverer of God's people from this Midianite oppression. Note where we find him. He is secretly threshing out the wheat. He secretly threshed out the wheat out of the sight of the oppressor. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." This was not the usual process or place of threshing, but it's what was called for during this time of crisis. Gideon, his name means warrior. Now, Gideon was not secretly threshing out of timidity. We read in verse 15, "And he said unto him," that was the angel of the Lord, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel?" He was humble. He had humility, but we could not say here in verse 11 that it was out of fear of the Midianites or timidity or cowardice, but it was out of necessity. It was out of necessity. If he did not do what he was doing, he would not even have a small amount of meal or sustenance for his family. He was finding a way in a time of oppression. Now, let's apply that to our situation, even at this hour. You know, we all confess that such worship over Zoom and other means is not adequate, is not sufficient when compared to the public assembling together of the church. But what can we say? Like Gideon, we are finding a way. We are finding a way to worship. We are finding a way to come together during a time of oppression, be it oppression by the virus itself or oppression by those who rule over us, forbidding us to meet. We are finding a way. The word of God is going forth. Now back to Gideon. Just enough meal here to ensure the survival of his family. Now we read in verse 15 that he says, "My family is poor in Manasseh." That they were. But they were also a prominent family. Because we learn this from Joash, his father, as we will see next week. So he comes from a prominent family within whatever village he has found. And yet we have him here, putting his arm to the work in order that he may ensure the survival of his own family. He is risking his life. We could say, what a noble act from this man, Gideon. And one writer remarked, from threshing corn, he is fetched to thresh the Midianites. From threshing corn, he was fetched to thresh the Midianites. He wasn't a man, a prophet that was sent to fetch Gideon, but it was the angel of the Lord. A man, a prophet, was sent to the people of Israel to preach to them the word. And here we have an angel of the Lord, particularly sent to Gideon. Now, who is this angel of the Lord who appears here in verse 11? Who is he who has come to call and equip Gideon for the deliverance of Israel? Is it not the Lord? Is it not the Lord himself? What we have here is a marvelous sight of the pre-incarnate Christ, what we call a Christophany. The term the angel of the Lord appears around 50 times in the Old Testament. And it is clear from our reading of some texts that there are times when it is not just an angel, but the Lord himself who has appeared unto his servant. One such instance we have here before us today. A Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of the eternal Son of God. And what I mean as a pre-incarnate appearance for the children, it was an appearance of the Son of God before he actually entered into the world in our nature, in human flesh. So it was before he came into the world over 2,000 years ago. Now God has always spoken to humanity through his Son. The Son is called the Eternal Word. We have that in John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We also know this to be the Son, because it is the Father who sends. In the great economy of the Trinity, in our salvation, it is a Father who sends, and it is the Spirit who applies. The Spirit has no form. It is the Son who comes on this errand, on this deliverance of his people. This one who has come to Gideon is that messenger of the covenant that we read about in Malachi 3:1. He who would later come to his temple. This is a wonderful thought, dear friends. What do we have here in Judges 6? We have an example of the ministry of Christ in the Old Testament, in the alleviating of the misery of his church, and the delivering of his church from their enemies. What do we have here? What did Israel have here? It is a gracious foretaste of what was to come in his messianic kingdom that was coming into the world. It was Christ here that had come to call Gideon. The angel of the Lord, he is a distinct person from the Lord. We read of that in verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord. So the second person of the Trinity, a distinct person. Yet he is identified as the Lord. Verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him. In verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God. So he was identified also as the Lord. He was content with receiving divine worship. In verses 20 and 21 and 24, the angel receives worship. And yet we read in Revelation that when John went to offer worship to the angel, he refused it. But here, this angel of the Lord is the Lord. He is worthy to receive worship and praise. This angel also has divine attributes. We read in chapter 5 and verse 23 that this angel exercised the divine attribute of judgment. Curse ye, Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. And this angel had divine authority. Look at verse 14, the last clause. Have not I sent thee, the angel of the Lord? This truth should be of great use to us today. We who live on the other side of that redemptive historical event of the incarnation of Jesus Christ can be assured that as Christ has always alleviated the ministry or the misery of his church and always maintained the cause of his church, so he will now also do the same. This, dear friends, we can be assured of. Christ delivers his church. Why? Because ultimately, it is his church. It is his cause. And he will deliver us. So that was Gideon and the angel of the Lord. Well, secondly, we note Gideon, mighty man of valor. From verse 12 to verse 16. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, what strikes us immediately here is the term used by the Lord to refer to Gideon. Now, many may think that this man threshing away in secret is no mighty man of valor. And yet, again, we are reminded that the Lord is not like us. The Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts. The Lord's ways are not our ways. What do we do? Well, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. What would we do if we saw Gideon hiding away, secretly threshing? Someone must say to us, that is the one who's going to deliver Israel. He is a mighty man of valor. We would see him in his secrecy. And we would conclude wrongly, wouldn't we? But the Lord does not do that. The Lord looketh upon the heart. The Lord sees that which we don't with regard to Gideon. Now let's apply that to ourselves. You know, how often this is the case with us. We always look for the mighty and for the wise. We always look to the academics. We always look to the scientists. And yet it has pleased the Lord to use the foolish of the world to confound the wise. It has pleased the Lord to use the weak to confound the mighty. And we have record of this throughout Scripture and throughout the history of the church. But why is it often the case with us that we look at the outward appearance and it is the outward appearance that we are impressed with? Well, dear friends, it has simply to come down to this, that we tend to live by sight and not by faith. What are we called to do? We are called to live by faith and not by sight. We are to live in continual dependence and trust upon God. And God can raise up the weakest among us to be the strongest. This was a particular call to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. A particular call to Gideon. He alone was to be the Lord's chosen vessel. And yet, he demonstrates here a degree of uncertainty. Initially, that the Lord is actually with Israel. He's uncertain of this. Verse 13. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Do you see what Gideon does here? It is a particular call to Gideon. And yet Gideon, in his reply to the angel of the Lord, identifies with the condition of Israel. He's not afraid to identify with God's people. He identifies with the condition of Israel, but also demonstrates for us the forgetfulness of Israel. He goes on to say in verse 13, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Remember last week, what was their sin? It was the sin of forgetfulness. And here Gideon helps us to see how gross a sin this was. They were instructed by their fathers of the deliverances that God gave to Israel. So therefore their forgetfulness was a willful forgetfulness. Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So he is initially uncertain of whether the Lord is actually with Israel, and then whether that he is the right man for the job. Verse 14 and 15. O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. What are we to make here of the reaction of Gideon? Why me? I can't do it. But this reaction is typical of such a servant of God being called to deliver God's people. Think of Moses before the burning bush, when Moses was called by God to lead out the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. Exodus 3, verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And in chapter 4, he remains in the same frame of mind. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And even when the Lord gives him more encouragement, Moses says in verse 10 of chapter 4, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Just like Moses, Gideon here is hesitant in a frame of humility. Why me? Surely there's somebody better than me that could deliver the people of Israel. Like Moses then, Gideon is a man fully conscious of his own weakness, of the difficulties before him, and of the magnitude of the task. Think of how formidable the Midianites were, and the Amalekites who were with them. And yet the Lord called him. You know, we have a record of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 and 12. And he says something significant that would help us here. He says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You see, Gideon here is apprehended by the Lord. He can do nothing else now but that which the Lord will set him to. Just like the Apostle Paul was apprehended by Jesus Christ, so we can say here then also, this is the testimony of Gideon also. Gideon was apprehended here by Jesus Christ, as he is the angel of the Lord. One writer remarks, for the might is not in what men are, be their endowments great or small, but what he is in them. And that's why we ought not to look at the outward appearance, dear friends. Men do great exploits for God, not because of what they are in and off of themselves, not for great endowments or gifts that they may have, but because of what Christ is in them. That is how they do great exploits. That is how they have done great exploits. It is Christ in them, the hope of glory, that enables them to go forth and conquer. Now we have in verse 14, the look, and the Lord looked upon him. And verse 14, we have a command, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And in verse 16, we have a promise. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. The look, the command, the promise all serve to equip this humble man Gideon to be that mighty man of valor in the deliverance of Israel. Just as we took note last week, the Midianites were an instrument in the Lord's hand to chastise his people. Now, Gideon would be in an instrument in the hand of the head of the church to eradicate this oppression, to eradicate the Midianites. And yet, the Lord graciously gives to Gideon a further confirmatory sign. And that's our third point, Gideon and a confirming sign, from verse 17 to 24. What does Gideon say in verse 17? And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Show me a sign. The manner in which Gideon seeks this sign of the Lord is important for us to note. He seeks this sign from the Lord as one of devotion and close fellowship and communion with the Lord. This is what he seeks. We see this in the offering that he brings. It is communion with the Lord that he seeks. He sought to bring forth an offering of a present unto the Lord. And we have that in verse 18 to 21. And so in doing, he sought the Lord's favour by his presence. Look what he says. Depart not hence, in verse 18. Does this not remind us of Jacob, who wrestled with the Lord? I will not let thee go until I receive the blessing. And so this is what Gideon's doing here also. Do not part hence. And the Hebrew word that is used here for the present that he offers, the gift that he brings, is used often in the Old Testament for a free will offering. An offering that Gideon is here bringing to the Lord. And some think that this was an offering as a sign of submission to the will of God. I will go. Lord, thou hast sent me. I will go. Receive this gift of my hand, this sign of my submission to your will. In offering, he is saying, as we all pray, thy will be done. In this act, Gideon sought a further sign of favour, a sign of special grace. If the angel of the Lord tarried under the yoke and received this offering of his hand, it will be enough. It will be enough. And that he does, dear friends. It is interesting here that the Lord directs Gideon in his offering. Now this is significant. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon the rock and pour out the broth. The angel of the Lord himself, directed Gideon in how he would have this fellowship and communion with him. Now remember, we will see next week as well, the children of Israel had been given over to idols once again. They had reared up groves unto false gods and the idols of the Canaanites. And here the Lord is coming. First things first, this is how I am to be worshipped. This is how I am to be approached. The sign Gideon sought is given by the Lord. One remarked, this angel is the shepherd of Israel, and the shepherd's staff is in his hand. That is a wonderful thought for us to think of here in this encounter with Gideon. The shepherd of Israel had come, the angel of the Lord had come, and his staff was in his hand. And we see this in verse 21. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand. The offering is accepted. The offering is consumed with fire. And the angel of the Lord departs. And then Gideon enters in to a state of fear. Now we have a similar event that happens in Judges 13 and verse 20, which may help us to grasp what sight brought Gideon to such a reverential fear of the Lord. Judges 13 and 20. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. What a sight this must have been for Gideon, to see his offering accepted and the angel of the Lord ascending. Now, it was the conviction off God's people that none could look upon the Lord and live. Such is the holiness of the Lord. He dwells in light unapproachable. We have this in Isaiah 6. The seraphim could not even look upon the one who they said was holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. And yet the eyes of Gideon beheld the Eternal One as it was in the form, as he was in the form of the angel of the Lord. One says it is death for the son of Joash. And then we have in verse 23 a gospel line to quell his fears and still his heart. Verse 23, when he is gripped in fear, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Here we have a gospel line given to Gideon in his time of fear. It makes us think of John and chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. What does Jesus say in these verses? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And it was with such words of peace that the Lord now meets Gideon in his fear. Dear friend, has the Lord met you with such gospel words, with such words and proposals of peace in the time of fear? Are we comforted by the peace that the Lord grants unto us? And here we have it in verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abi Ezrites. The Lord, dear friends, truly is the Lord that sends peace. This is what this name means, this title. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord sends peace. None other can give us peace but the Lord. For the Christian, that means that in any providence that we find ourselves in, be it a personal providence, be it an ecclesiastical providence within the church, be it a community providence or a national providence, whatever providence, the Christian can face it with peace that the Lord gives. The Christian, in knowing that they have peace with God through Jesus Christ, can even in a pandemic be still and know that the Lord, He is God. They have nothing to fear with the peace of Christ in the soul. You know, that's how sinners have peace with God, isn't it? That's how those whose minds were at enmity to God, who were in offence to God, who are at war with God, are brought into peace and reconciliation with God. It is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. We are currently, dear friends, confined to our homes. But can we say that the family altar that is raised in our homes today is to Jehovah Shalom, to that Lord that sends peace? It is in the strength of this title, this name, that Gideon will go forth and deliver Israel from the Midianite oppressor. Will you go forth in the strength of this name today, tomorrow, the week that is to come, the months that are maybe before us during this crisis in our land? Will you, like Gideon, go forth with the Lord of peace? A crisis in the land, yes. A crisis in the church? Yes. But remember, Jehovah Shalom. Remember, the Lord, who is peace, sends peace unto his people. For the Lord has already sent peace unto us in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, fear not, dear Christians, what may be. For the Lord, he who is our God, is the Lord of peace. May the Lord grant each of us peace in our minds and our souls this day through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we pray that thou would bless the preaching of thy word. We look to thee as the seed has been sown to add the increase. Without thee, we can do nothing. We pray then, O God, that thou would bless it to our souls. We pray that we would be sanctified by thy truth, that we would be better prepared to enter into a new week, that we may live in peace with God, no matter the tumultuous providences that may be around about us. We pray, O God, and rejoice in Jesus Christ, he who alleviated the misery of his church, delivered his church from their enemies, maintained the cause of his church in the days of Gideon. We rejoice that he ever lives now to make intercession for us, that he still alleviates our misery. He still delivers us from the oppressors. Help us, O God, to be sure that Christ is preeminent in our homes and in our lives, the preeminent thought of our minds and the preeminent desire of each of our hearts, that his kingdom may come and be furthered in our lives and in our churches. We pray this, seeking the pardon of all our sins, for Christ's sake. Amen.